20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, Packers fans, to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you for joining me today. If it's your first time here, welcome. Enjoy the show. Like, subscribe, comment, give some five-star reviews, and sit down and relax and enjoy a half-hour, 40-minute chat on all things Green Bay Packers and, of course, the NFL as well. This is by far one of my favorite times of the year. This next week, from about like last Wednesday to this coming Wednesday, Thursday, that week period of time, one of the absolute best points in the NFL football season, or the NFL football calendar, I guess you'd say. It's really a 365 calendar, which is why we do this 365. But this 7-day-ish period where we get these little dopamine hits every single day of something that's happening, some new rumors, some new buzz. I know it's a little bit quiet on the Packers front right now. We'll talk about the Rashawn Gary thing in just a moment. But you know, we did have Xavier McKinney get restructured. Chris Brooks is re-signing. We've had a couple little things Packers related, but for the most part, it's been other teams, but there's been movement already. We had a big Max Crosby trade on Friday that I'm so excited to talk about and what that kind of means. It's just, there's new stuff that's happening every single day. And it feels like today on Saturday, there's going to be some other bombshell that probably happens. And then Sunday, and then Monday, we get this just avalanche of stuff that happens to the point where you get to like Thursday next week, and all of a sudden it's just like two moves trickle in through the course of the day. And you're like, what's happening? I'm having withdrawals because I'm not getting constant updates of players signing everywhere, but it is a super fun time of year. So excited that you're here. Excited that we get to talk about it. We're going to be catching up on all the things that have happened so far. And like I said, going over Rashawn Gary, some movement, Max Crosby, etc. We'll talk about all of it today. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Ian Sal, Maddie725, Mitch O, Cody D, Young Pack, and Jack Peterson. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. You can find those memberships over on the YouTube channel. Four different options available for you. Check those out when you have an opportunity. Also want to tell you, I'm going to be doing a live free agent frenzy show on Monday, 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern. You can do the math for anywhere else you are, but that's when free agency starts, when the legal tampering period kicks off. And that's usually when we start getting some rapid fire transactions from Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport, etc. How much Green Bay is involved in that, I don't know, but it should be a really fun time. I might go an hour, I might go 4 hours, I might go 5 hours, I don't know, but come and show up at 11 a.m. on Monday morning, again, Central Time, and we're going to talk through everything that happens on the day of free agency. That will be on the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube channel. Let's start off with our main topic for today. We talked about it with Justice Mosqueda on Happy Hour, but I just want to weigh in on it one more time in case you missed that. Rashawn Gary releases his goodbye Green Bay huge logo and statement and everything on his Instagram account and on his Twitter account, and says goodbye to Green Bay, says he's excited for what's next. And then all the big accounts chime in. Rashawn Gary posts that he's leaving. We hear that, you know, it's likely that he's going to be traded or released, but he's leaving Green Bay. We get it from multiple accounts. And then about 20 minutes later, maybe 15 minutes later, we get all these updates. Rashawn Gary has not been informed that he has been traded or released as of yet. And we have heard from Rashawn Gary, or somebody close to Rashawn Gary, that he was actually hacked. He was hacked, I tell you. Hacked. The amount of hackers that are going around right now, I want everyone to be extremely careful. They are going around and posting super nice things and grateful responses and, you know, I've enjoyed my time in Green Bay. These are what the hackers of the world are up to right now. It's not trying to steal any, information or, get on your accounts to try to hack other people or spam other people. It's simply to do nice things and say thank yous and, put goodbye messages with big, Instagram style images and things like that. That's what hackers are doing nowadays. So you just have to be really, really careful out there. And as I talked about with Justice, the hoops that you have to jump through to get to hackers. Rashawn Gary, who is in all likelihood going to get cut or traded, somebody out there somewhere decided to put this gorgeous graphic together and pen a goodbye to the city of Green Bay. Find a way to hack Rashawn Gary's Instagram account and Twitter account. But in doing so, only wanted to post this very nice message to the city of Green Bay. He didn't want to, or she didn't want to, change the passwords or do anything malicious whatsoever, and then just simply log off so that Rashawn Gary could come and log back on and delete said posts that were so nice to the city of Green Bay. And then that's it. That was the ultimate scam. All of these hackers and scammers have been trying to steal credit card data and, you know, information and other user IDs and passwords and everything else malicious and find a way to get your grandma's credit card. These hackers are just out there posting nice images with very nice words for Green Bay. That was the whole ordeal. That's what was going on. There's no way. There is 0.0% chance. I just want to say, if by chance there is a hacker who did decide to do this, well played. Well played. You hacked two accounts, a Twitter account and Instagram account, to fool everybody into thinking that Rashawn Gary has been traded or cut, which is likely going to be the inevitable anyway. Kudos to you, hacker. Like that you're just doing this for the common good and the hilarity of what has ensued in the memes and the jokes and everything else. Good on you. As I talked about with Justice, two things make sense. I think the most logical one, and maybe I'm just being gullible here, but I think the most logical one is that Rashawn Gary and his team knew that this is coming, that he's going to get traded or released. He's not going to stay in Green Bay. That's it's a foregone conclusion, or at least there's like a 95% chance that he's going to be gone. So you get ahead of it. You put this goodbye to Green Bay together so that you can release it once it's a foregone conclusion, once it actually happens, once they find out that, yes, in fact, he's been traded or cut, and then you've already got your goodbye ready to go, and you can post it on Twitter and Instagram. And that's what they did. But instead of putting it in the drafts or just saving it, they accidentally hit publish. That to me is probably the most likely scenario here. Somebody in the agency made a mistake and posted it when they were supposed to save it. That feels like it's a common, you know, simple mistake. The other could be that Green Bay is trying to shop him, and Rashawn Gary and his agent want to get out there and say, "Hey, we're going to get cut. We don't want to be traded for some seventh round pick somewhere, and, you know, be forced to go where they're going to trade us. We want to go pick our team ourselves. We would like if Green Bay did us this favor of just releasing us, so when free agency starts, or even before, we can go and start negotiating deals when people still have money." But Green Bay has no, you know, they have no need to do that. The contract is what it is. And if they want to drag this out, as Justice talked about yesterday, they can drag this out. Same thing with Elgton Jenkins, as long as they want. Hoping that some team that needs a defensive end or some team that maybe needs a guard or center with Elgton Jenkins gets desperate and says, "Yeah, we'll give you a sixth round pick." Is it worth it to sort of quote unquote hold those players hostage for a potential seventh round pick down the road? Because listen, they know. They've had conversations with every team already. "Hey, will you give us a pick? Nope. Will you give us a pick? Nope. Will you give us a pick? Nope. Will you give us a pick? Well, maybe if you eat some of the salary cap, all right, that's not going to work. Will you?" And they know. They know that there's not a good deal out there right now. Does that change come Thursday of next week when the free agents have been picked over and some team missed out on guard slash center or defensive end? Maybe. Does it change post-draft when somebody didn't get the draft pick that they wanted at the position that they wanted? Again, guard, center, or defensive end? Maybe. How long Green Bay is willing to play this game? We've seen. We saw last year with Jaire Alexander that they are willing to play the long game. What that got Green Bay? Nothing. What it got Jaire Alexander? Less money on the open market. Probably. It's a very interesting dynamic. It's a disservice for agents that they do not put, you know, March 1st or early March or league year open roster bonuses instead of base salary to force this issue. It's a very easy fix if you're the agent. And it's not really that derogatory to the team to make this switch. If you're set to make like $10 million in base salary, you just basically change that to like $3 million in base salary and $7 million in roster bonus that's set to hit on the first day of the league year or a couple days before the first day of the league year. And what that does is it forces the team to make that decision before that roster bonus kicks in. And so therefore, it incentivizes the team to make that decision prior to the start of free agency or on the first day of free agency. So the player like Jaire Alexander last year doesn't have to wait potentially until well into the offseason when he's finally cut and then can go find his team. The same thing could happen to Elgton Jenkins. The same thing could happen to Rashawn Gary right now. I would prefer as a fan, not as a, you know, anything else, just to rip the bandaid and just know that this is done. But Green Bay is doing the smart thing. They're doing the business thing of, hey, we're gonna hold on to these assets as long as we can and see if we can squeeze a little bit more juice out of them, meaning a sixth or seventh round pick. If you can't get it, fine. We release them. We're going to release them anyway. We're going to get rid of them anyway. So we might as well hold out a little bit longer to see if we can get some draft capital. Do I think they're going to? Probably not. It does feel like Rashawn Gary being gone is a complete foregone conclusion at this point, especially after Gary likely posted that. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see. It's going to be a very interesting few days where, again, this could drag out a whole heck of a lot further. We shall wait and see. But an interesting scenario. I did joke. I said, you know, if Rashawn Gary does get cut or traded in the next, you know, 24, 48, 72 hours, whatever it is, can he go back and use the same image? You know, does he have to recreate it or can he use this beautiful image that the hackers have already given him to be so nice to do? It's the most absurd thing ever. It's the most Rashawn Gary way to end this entire thing. Just so bizarre, so freaking bizarre. And it just, the NFL is just the ultimate, just mess of craziness. You never know what's going to happen next. Just when you think you've seen everything, something new comes up of like, oh, Rashawn Gary penned a very nice goodbye to the city of Green Bay. Hacked. Actually, it's not real. It's hacked. Just so crazy. I love it. I love every second of it. That's why this time of year is just phenomenal. You get, you know, cryptic tweets and players deleting all their photos of the team they were on from Instagram, like Quay Walker did. And you get all these little things. It's just, it's such an amazing, beautiful, wonderful time of year. We'll be right back. Meanwhile, we did have a big trade on Friday. And I'll be honest, I was a little bit nervous. Chicago cleared a bunch of salary cap space. They picked up a second round pick from DJ Moore. There were some rumblings that Chicago was the leader in the clubhouse for Max Crosby. Schefter did sort of report on Thursday that that wasn't the case. There was a lot of reports out there that Max Crosby wanted to go to Chicago. That's where he wanted to end up. And it wasn't even necessarily just Chicago. The rumors had been, to a real large extent, that the teams that were most likely to land Max Crosby were the Detroit Lions, the Chicago Bears, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, or the LA Rams. Like, those are the five teams that kept coming up over and over. And those are all in the NFC, all to competitive teams. So you're just hoping, like, you know, even if it wasn't Chicago, it's like, well, is the Rams getting him good? No, that's probably not great. Are the Eagles getting him good? No, that's probably not great. So you were, you know, cognizant of the fact that even if it's not Chicago, it could easily be one of the other teams that Green Bay is really competing with this next year. But we get a reprieve. Max Crosby is a Baltimore Raven, stays in the AFC for two first-round picks, including pick 14 this year. Now, this is a very interesting conversation. First of all, good move for the Ravens. I think they get a very good player. They needed a big-time pass rusher. They now have Minter as a defensive coach. I think they want to get better at playing defensive football, getting back to that Baltimore Ravens sort of way and getting Minter as head coach and kind of leading that along with Max Crosby now at defensive end. I think a lot of that makes sense. I think the Raiders did good to get two first-round picks and demand those two first-round picks, and they eventually got it, not to mention pick 14. I love that he's not going to the NFC. That is a huge win for Green Bay and the rest of the NFC. But of course, you have now this sort of comparison between Max Crosby and Micah Parsons. Who got the better deal? Was it this? To me, just echoes the fact that Green Bay got a fantastic deal for Micah Parsons. Now, a couple things. The big difference here is, you know, Micah's well in his prime, you know, 25, 26, I think 26 years old. You know, Max Crosby's about to turn 29 in August. There is definitely an age gap there and an age difference there. Crosby's been a little bit more beat up. Now, I know, you know, Parsons just tore his ACL, which is less than ideal, but Crosby, as of late, has been a little bit more beat up than what Parsons was kind of coming to Green Bay. The other thing here is Green Bay gave up two sort of unknown first-round picks expected to be at the end of the draft. Now, Green Bay losing in the first round, it bumped that pick up a little bit, but the Ravens are giving up pick 14 in this draft. That is a top 15 draft pick that they are now giving in that trade. And then again, it's a free roll for both teams next year. We don't know what Green Bay or Baltimore are going to do next year, but I would argue that there's a good chance that the Raiders get the two better picks in that deal, or at least the much better pick this year and probably something similar next year. That's very interesting. You do have a little bit of a less contract for Max Crosby. That's not nothing. That matters quite a bit as well. And Green Bay had to give up Kenny Clark, but really it was a year of Kenny Clark because Kenny was going to get cut this offseason anyway, but due to salary cap restrictions and just needing to kind of move on from him. So I don't actually think that plays a massive part in the calculus. To me, Green Bay got the better of these two deals and they got the better player. They got the younger player. It just goes to show you again that Green Bay did really, really well in that trade last year with Micah. Again, unfortunate that he tore his ACL. I don't think it's a terrible deal for Baltimore. They did not have to give up a player on top of the two firsts. I think the two firsts is just a little bit rich. First and a third, I would have probably felt better about, but there were plenty of suitors out there and the Ravens wanted them and they had to go a little bit more all in to do it. And now they give up two first round picks. They get Max Crosby and the Raiders get two very needed young, you know, talented players that they can hopefully find with those two first round draft picks. So I like it for both sides. I love even more that Max Crosby is not going to Chicago and that he's not going anywhere in the NFC. Chicago, not empty handed though. They, of course, lost Drew Dolman already to retirement. And there was a lot of talk. There was talk all over Bears Twitter. We're going to trade for Max Crosby. We're going to sign Tyler Linderbaum. And the rest of the NFL is screwed. Not only did they not trade for Max Crosby, not only are they probably now not going to sign Linderbaum, they trade for Garrett Bradbury. So they went from dreams of Max Crosby and Tyler Linderbaum to Garrett Bradbury. Congratulations and kudos to the Chicago Bears. Now, they only gave up a future fifth-round pick. I actually think it's a fairly good deal overall for Bradbury, an established starting center in this league. Bradbury was good in pass pro last year. I don't think he had any penalties. There were things that he did well. But I'll just say this. Bradbury is a fairly significant step down from Drew Dolman. And he's going to be their starter in all likelihood. I do think Chicago will draft a center to compete with Bradbury or to be that ultimate replacer probably in 2027. But right now, going from Dolman to Bradbury is a pretty significant step down. And that is a new weak point in that offensive line. And, you know, Dolman was super, super established with helping with the checks at the line of scrimmage for Caleb Williams. I'm not as familiar with Bradbury to know if he can do some of that. He is a veteran center, so I'm sure there's probably a piece of that at minimum that he can do. But this is a pretty big win for everyone else in the NFC North to see Chicago go from Drew Dolman, who was fantastic a year ago, to now Garrett Bradbury, who the Packers have had a ton of success against when he was a Minnesota Viking, specifically Kenny Clark, who's gone. But you're not too upset if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, that Garrett Bradbury is now the center for Chicago. It's not Linderbaum. It's not Connor McGovern. Drew Dolman's gone. This is a very good outcome for the Green Bay Packers. Meanwhile, that wasn't the only offensive line move that could affect Green Bay and the rest of the NFC North that happened on Friday. Taylor Decker, the Lions' really good left tackle, he asked to be released. It sounds like there was some salary dispute. Detroit is going to grant the release. And Taylor Decker, their starting left tackle, is going to be gone. And from 5 years ago, you had a really, really good starting offensive line, and there is only one player left from that offensive line for Detroit. Zeitler is gone. Glasgow is cut earlier this offseason. Of course, Ragnow retired, and now Decker is gone as well. And you have Penei Sewell left over, who is phenomenal, but the rest of that line leaves a ton to be desired. It is Penei Sewell and stuff. Listen, Detroit's got a really good quarterback in Jared Goff. Gibbs is one of the best running backs in the league. They've got really good wide receivers in Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams, one of the best tight ends in the league in Sam Laporta. They have the weapons, but if they don't have the run blocking and the pass protection, all of that is for nothing. And Detroit is now going to have to make over this offensive line in a pretty significant way. Routledge last year was second round pick. He didn't have a great rookie year. We'll see if he can make improvements in year two. You know, they get Scruggs from the Texans. I don't think that they probably want to start him, but right now he's probably the starting center. It's just, it's not a great look right now. Mahogany is an okay, former sixth round pick, I want to say, at left guard. A good value for a sixth round pick, but he's not a high level starter or player by any means. And I don't know who's going to start at left tackle for him right now. So this is a major issue for Detroit with their offensive line. And now Taylor Decker is gone as well. By the way, keep an eye on Taylor Decker in the division. Still, he has that connection with Ben Johnson. The Bears do need a left tackle or could use a sort of stopgap left tackle. I wouldn't be stunned at all if Decker does end up in Chicago. So may not be a full reprieve from Taylor Decker, who again is a really solid left tackle, but he has gone from Detroit, and keep an eye potentially on him going to Chicago. Meanwhile, Dan Graziano predicts that Romeo Doubs will be a San Francisco 49er. His projection is 3 years, $49 million. There are multiple rumors and reports out there that Romeo is going to the 49ers. I saw one account say that it's the worst kept secret in football right now that Romeo Doubs is going to the 49ers. We shall see. 3 years, 49 seems about right, just above $16 million per year. If I had to guess personally, I bet that gets to about 17 or 18 mil per year. I bet there's another 2 to 3 million on top of that. 3 years, 51 million maybe sounds about right. But either way, seemingly could be Doubs to San Francisco. You never know with this stuff. Some of it is just rumors and buzz and it doesn't come to fruition, but I could easily see it. They are losing Brandon Ayuk, who didn't really play. Juwan Jennings is also likely headed elsewhere. They could use a receiver like Romeo Doubs. It's a pretty good fit. Comes from a similar system. Wouldn't hate that for San Fran. It doesn't move the needle a ton for me with, you know, kind of San Francisco's playoff odds or anything like that, or Super Bowl odds, but I think it's a good fit, and it certainly would be a good fit for Romeo Doubs going there and getting a really good contract too. It's probably right around a fourth round comp pick for Romeo Doubs in that situation. Still a ton of buzz about Kyler Murray to the Vikings. I kind of expect that to happen, but that's one that you're really going to want to keep an eye on. As we've talked about with Kyler Murray, he's got the offset language in his contract. So there is no incentive for anyone to give Kyler Murray anything other than the vet minimum. So he basically just gets to choose what team he wants to go to of all the teams that are interested in him, because they're all going to offer him the vet minimum because the Cardinals are already paying his salary. And that's where, from a Vikings standpoint, and as we look at it from a Packers standpoint, you know, you wouldn't hate if the Vikings had to put like a $30 million contract in front of Kyler Murray. You'd be like, all right, that's fine. I don't care about that. But when they get him for a vet minimum, and again, when you've got some good quarterback coaches and, you know, Kevin O'Connell to kind of get him on the right track, there's a little bit of concern there that he could be good in Minnesota. Dome team, of course. They've got the wide receivers in Addison and Jefferson. They've got a pretty darn good offensive line. I think that'd be a good fit for Kyler, which I hate. And that's one to really keep an eye on because, well, it's maybe still not a great option. It is the best of the options out there for Minnesota based on how cap-strapped they are. Don't think they can really get in the Malik Willis conversation, but Murray to Minnesota makes a ton of sense. I hate it. I hope he doesn't, you know, get to where he needs to be to make that team super successful. But man, this NFC North could just be an absolute bloodbath. If Murray can play well and the rest of these teams continue to round themselves out, that this division could be a just absolute nightmare going into 2026. We'll be right back. If you're looking for Tyler Biadasz to be a Packer, it's not going to happen. He signed with the LA Chargers, 3 years, $30 million. Another reason why Chicago may have pivoted in this case to Garrett Bradbury. They were interested in Biadasz, but Biadasz goes to the Chargers, will not be a Packer, will not be a Bear, will not be on any other team in the NFC North. He is going to the AFC West. Dalvin Tomlinson was released. Why is that important? Defensive tackle for the Arizona Cardinals, nose tackle, I should say, for the Arizona Cardinals. He was Jonathan Gannon's nose tackle in Arizona. He will not count against the comp pick formula. He's big, he's burly. He fits that nose tackle position perfect. He'd be a potentially good addition. The interesting thing with Tomlinson is he's had a really great career, and then he got to Arizona last year, and he did not have a good year, arguably his worst year of his career. So are you going to get that version of Tomlinson? If so, you want to stay away. You don't want probably anything to do with that. But if you think he can rebound, play better than he did a year ago and get back to playing where he was pretty much every other year of his career better, then you feel really good about that type of signing. But the fact that he is a cut player who is from Jonathan Gannon's system, who you can bring in and he's not going to affect the comp pick formula, don't sleep on it in its entirety. Don't sleep on it in its entirety. I could easily see something like that being a stopgap for a year or maybe two for Tomlinson to Green Bay. They'd have to go a little bit older at the position, but there are not a lot of great nose tackle options out there, and Tomlinson could make some sense for your Green Bay Packers. We talked about Drew Dahlman retiring for Chicago. We had another retirement at center in the NFC North. Ryan Kelly, the center for Minnesota, who had a bunch of concussion issues. The thought was that he was probably going to retire. If he didn't, it wasn't sure if, you know, if Minnesota was going to bring him back. He's now retired as well. So a lot of free agent signings in the NFC North on the offensive line, interior offensive line especially, didn't exactly go according to plan. Dahlman is now retired. Banks has been a bit of an issue for Green Bay. You now have Kelly, who's retired. Fries was up and down for Minnesota. A lot of big free agents. Chicago really did the best with getting Jonah Jackson. Dahlman, of course, but now he's retired. But they did a really great job. And then, of course, Joe Tooney as well. They did a great job remaking that interior. But we're already seeing a couple of these players, including Dahlman, Ryan Kelly, et cetera, take off elsewhere. So interesting news there for the Vikings. If you look at just the NFC North so far, not a lot of additions. Now, it's early. There's going to be some additions, especially for Chicago, et cetera. But the two additions have been Juice Scruggs for the Detroit Lions and Garrett Bradbury for the Chicago Bears. Those are really the only two additions to the NFC North so far. Again, it's going to change. We'll see what happens in the free agency period next week and beyond, and then the NFL draft too. But some key losses in the NFC North. David Montgomery, Graham Glasgow, both gone for Detroit, as is Taylor Decker. So Decker, Montgomery, and Glasgow gone for Detroit. Aaron Jones, Javon Hargrave, Jonathan Allen, Ryan Kelly, already gone for Minnesota. Drew Dahlman, Tremaine Edmonds, and DJ Moore, all gone for Chicago. That's a pretty good group of players. It's not world beaters or anything like that. Those are some players who have hurt Green Bay in the past or that are just good, solid players. They are all gone from their respective teams, all released or traded in the case of DJ Moore and David Montgomery so far this offseason, or I guess retired in the case of Ryan Kelly and Drew Dahlman. You get my point. They're no longer in the NFC North. As I mentioned, the two additions so far, Scruggs and Garrett Bradbury. A couple other just news and notes from around the league. Dolphins had a couple cuts. Alec Ingold, the fullback, Bayport High School, played in Green Bay and is a fullback. We've been calling for a fullback in Green Bay. He's got a little bit of juice left in the tank. Could that be a fullback that Green Bay looks at? Maybe. Keep an eye on Alec Ingold. And then Jason Sanders, the kicker. I think he probably finds his way to another team that doesn't have a Brandon McManus-style kicker, but that would be one that if you wanted to bring in legitimate competition, I think Jason Sanders with Brandon McManus would be a great competition. I don't know what the price point would be, but he wouldn't count against the comp pick formula because he was released. I would be real interested in bringing in Jason Sanders to compete with Brandon McManus if I were Green Bay. Again, not sure if you could get it done, but if you could, I think that'd be a really wise move for your Packers. Some miscellaneous ones. Texans released Joe Mixon. Bills released Taron Johnson, Curtis Samuel, Taylor Rapp, and Dane Jackson. Really quick on that, Taron Johnson, Taylor Rapp, and Dane Jackson are all secondary players for the Bills. Why that matters? Bobby Babich is, of course, your new defensive passing game coordinator for the Packers, and he worked with all three of those players. Now, Taron Johnson is a nickel corner. Green Bay does not need a nickel corner. Taylor Rapp is a safety. They don't really need a safety. I don't think they're going to be super interested in Dane Jackson as an outside corner. But again, anytime you get those connections, just worth noting. But Taron Johnson, Curtis Samuel, Taylor Rapp, and Dane Jackson all released for the Bills. Geno Smith set to be released by the Raiders if they can't find a trade. And Cameron Curl, really good safety, re-signs with the LA Rams. We also have got Ricky Scoops. Ricky is back. The barking dog, the one that the NFL is trying to figure out who he is, the one that has had a pretty good success rate with some of his rumors that he's posted. He's got some out there from Friday. Wandale Robinson, the Giants wide receiver, he says is going to go to the Tennessee Titans. Alec Pierce, he said the Patriots are going to make a very significant offer for Alec Pierce. And then Kenneth Walker, he mentioned both the Chiefs and the Giants as potential destinations for Kenneth Walker. So just some good old-fashioned NFL rumors heading into free agency season. That is what I got for you guys today. A crazy situation with Rashawn Gary, a huge trade for Max Crosby, and a huge outcome that he's not being in the NFC and gets to stay in the AFC and go play for the Baltimore Ravens. And then the rest is just some news and notes. Again, Taylor Decker being gone is a huge one for Detroit. And we are inching closer and closer to that legal tampering period. Noon Eastern time, 11 Central time on Monday. Again, I will be doing a live show on the Packaday Podcast YouTube channel, kicking off right away when free agency kicks off at 11 a.m. So I hope to see you guys there. Going to try to bring on some guests as well. Appreciate you guys joining me today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, the Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weiss, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillertson, Large Charles, and Jay Conner. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.